Turn, please, to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. I want to thank you, all of you who have been praying for Adele and for me. We are thankful that the cancer was contained and that Adele did not need chemo or radiation. Dr. Eason put his arm around her one time and said, "You're a lucky girl." And I said to myself, "No, doctor, it's not luck. For the Christian, there is no such thing as luck. Our times are in God's hands." And yet I have rebuked myself afterwards because I said nothing to him. And every time I think of that occasion, I still rebuke myself. Now, thank you for praying for me. Back in December, I had a very bad cold and had to stay away from the meeting because I didn't want to bark and give the cold to anybody. I got over that, and then I came down with severe pains in my legs so that I couldn't even drive the car without severe pain. So I went to the doctor, and he gave me some prednisone. Now, those of you who have been on prednisone know what it can do to you if you take a lot. And so he gave me a 12-day program, and for 12 days, maybe 14 days, I only slept about 3 hours a night. Well, one of the things that came out of that was that I didn't feel too badly during the day. It sort of gave you a lift during the day. But when he gave it to me, I started with 60 mg the first day at noontime. Well, I woke up in the middle of the night. I slept a little and then woke up and just laid in the chair, sleeping in the chair. And finally I thought of the word of God, which says, "Redeem the time because the days are evil." My glasses were on the table there and on the lampstand, and also my Bible. So I thought, well, I'll read my Bible. Well, you know, you think back in Ruth chapter 2 and verse 3, you read there, "She happened to come to a portion of the field that belonged to Boaz." No, it just was not a happenstance. God had planned that, and we know that she ended up later marrying Boaz and was found to be in the line of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, I opened my Bible, and the portion that I opened to was Mark chapter 12. And the reason that I opened up to that was because that was where I had been reading each day in my daily reading. Well, after having read the chapter through, I thought about the first few verses. And I said to myself, there's a message in there. And so I began each night when I couldn't sleep to read the first 12 verses of Mark chapter 12. And each night I kept thinking a little bit more about the scripture and adding a little more in my mind concerning the scripture. And after a while I said, well, this is a message that I should attempt to bring. And so I began to put notes down and over a period of time developed a message which I trust will be helpful to you. The first 12 verses of Mark chapter 12. "And he began to speak unto them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard and set an hedge about it and dug a place for the wine press and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went into a far country. And at that season he sent to the tenants a servant that he might receive from the tenants of the fruit of the vineyard, and they caught him and beat him and sent him away. And again he sent unto them another servant, and at him they cast stones and wounded him in the head and sent him away, shamefully handled. And again he sent another unto them, and they killed him. And many others, beating some and killing some. Having yet therefore one son, his well-beloved, he sent him to also last unto them, saying, they will reverence my son. But those tenants said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. And they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the tenants and give the vineyard unto others. And have ye not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And they sought to lay hold on him, but feared the people, for they knew that he had spoken this parable against them. And they left them and went their way. Now, quickly, before we talk about the vineyard, I want to just explain this parable a little bit, and then we'll come back to it later on. In verse 12, or verse 1 of chapter 12, we read, and he began to speak unto them. Now, who were the them? Well, you must turn back to verse 27 in the previous chapter. And here you read at the end of the verse, there came to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. These were the religious leaders in the land of Israel who are objecting to the ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Who is the one who planted the vineyard? Well, God is the one who planted the vineyard. Who are the tenants? The Israelites, and especially these men here, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. Who are the servants who came? Well, the servants who were sent were the prophets of old who came and spoke to the vineyard. We see where they treated them very, very harshly. Who was the son? Well, Jesus here, of course, is speaking about himself, because he knows that in less than a week, he's going to be crucified by these very same people. Now, most of the parables that Jesus gave, they did not understand. Even his disciples did not understand them. And he explained them to the disciples later on, after he had told the parable. But this parable, we read in verse 12, they sought to lay hands on him, but feared the people, for they knew that he had spoken the parable against them. Now, I'm thinking now about this vineyard. And in my thinking, I began to wonder, when did this vineyard begin? Did it begin with Abraham? Or did it begin with Jacob? Well, I believe that the vineyard in embryo, notice that word in embryo, began with Abraham. The vineyard was planted with Jacob when his name was changed to Israel. But let's start with Abraham. The scriptures call him the friend of God. And all this history that I'm going to bring you from the Old Testament, you know, but I want to refresh your minds with it. Abraham is called the friend of God. What a title that is. Now, Abraham was not perfect. I thought about his life, and there were three times when he did things that he should not have done. First of all, when he was told to leave Ur of the Chaldees, he stopped at Haran. He lost some precious time in getting to the Promised Land by staying in Haran. The first thing also that we see is that he took along with him his father and his nephew Lot. Now, he was told by God that he was to leave his family and his kindred, and only he alone was to go. So, in that respect, he disobeyed God. His mother is not mentioned. I'm just wondering and presuming that perhaps he was taking care of his father because his mother was gone, and he did not want to leave his father alone. But Lot became a thorn in his flesh almost as long as he lived in the Promised Land. Now, getting back to this thought that he was called a friend of God, Jesus in the New Testament said in the book of John, "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." Now, we sing, "What a friend we have in Jesus." And how true that is. He is our friend. But does God and Jesus look upon us as his friends? Notice the difference. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And so if we know the scripture, we know what God commands us and wants us to do, and we just refuse to do it, we're not a friend of God. He doesn't look upon us as friends. Oh, we look upon him as a friend, but he doesn't look upon us as a friend. Now, as I mentioned, the mistakes he made, that was the first one. The second one was that he went down to Egypt. There was a famine in the land, but we can't read in the scriptures anywhere that God told him to go. But down in Egypt, he got himself in trouble with the king over his wife, who was taken into the king's harem. But then he brought back a little maid from there, Hagar. And he knew the promise that he was going to have a son, but he got weak in faith, and listening to his wife, Sarah, he had a child. This child, Ishmael, was born. But he was not the promised son, because Sarah was to bring forth the promised son. So therefore, all the trouble which the Jews are having today is because of Abraham's trouble back there. Now, God made a covenant with him. And the covenant that he made with him, because he was faithful in most of the things that he did, was that he was going to give him a land, he was going to give him a people, and he was going to make him a blessing to other people. And those three things have been true of the Jewish people even down unto now for those who are serving God. Now, he had a son also, another son, Isaac by Sarah, and he was the promised son. Willingly, he was willing to offer him as a sacrifice to God. And God said, "No, you don't need to do that." As he raised the knife to slay him, he said, "You don't need to do that." But they caught a ram in the thicket, and they used that as a sacrifice. Now, Isaac had two sons. The two sons were Jacob and Esau. And the sad thing about that family is that the mother loved Jacob and the father loved Esau. This is Father's Day. I'll have a Father's Day message this evening, by the way. This is Father's Day. And oh, I want to say, we're all older now, and none of us here, I don't think, have any small children anymore. But I trust that we were not partial to our children. Even today, we try with Christmas gifts and other gifts to keep all of our children, our two sons, and all of our grandchildren and even great-grandchildren coming along now equal, because I think that God would want us to do that. This mother-loving Jacob and the father-loving Esau caused trouble. We all know that Esau was a cunning hunter of the field. Jacob wanted to eat of his venison, and he sent him out. But the mother said, he sent Esau out. The mother said to Jacob, I think I can do something about this situation, and God will give you the blessing. And so she killed a goat and dressed him up in that and cooked it up. Isaac's taste must not have been very good now. And cooked it up so that he would love the taste of it. And he gave Jacob the blessing. Now, as a result of that, Esau was very, very angry with him. He had sold the birthright for a mess of pottage, and now Jacob is getting the birthright, the blessing, himself. God, in his own way, would have given it to him in his own time, but he disobeyed God, and his mother disobeyed God. So we find him fleeing from home. His mother advises him to go visit Uncle Laban. And we find him fleeing from home. And the first night out, he stops at a little place called Bethel. Now here God was gracious to him. God sends a vision to him, a vision of a ladder extending from heaven to earth, and angels descending and ascending. And he realized that God was speaking to him, and he said, this is truly the house of God. And he built an altar and worshiped God there. We're beginning to see just a little change in Jacob. Now, Jacob was a deceiver. He was a shyster. He was a crook, a liar. Up until a certain time in his life, you couldn't see very much good in this man, Jacob. Now, he came to Uncle Laban's, and you know the story as to how he worked 7 years for his beloved Rachel, and then the father says, well, in the morning he discovered it was Leah in the tent with him and not Rachel. And the father says, Laban, we have a custom that we don't give the younger ones first. The older one must be married first. And then the Bible says he worked 7 more years for Rachel. We're not sure that he didn't receive both of them almost at the same time and work for Rachel afterwards. The Bible isn't, in my mind, quite clear about that. Now he complains to Jacob, or to Laban, Jacob does, that you change my wages 10 times. And Laban was very, very hard on him. But in spite of that, the Bible tells us that God blessed him and God encouraged him, and he got much substance of sheep and goats and cattle. Now, somehow his wives heard their brothers talking about the fact that if Jacob stayed there, he's going to get their inheritance. And so they tell Jacob this, and Jacob says, maybe it's time to leave. And they agree with him because they said, if you stay here, the brothers are going to get our inheritance. So Laban is out now sheep shearing, 3 days away, and Jacob decides to leave at that time. Now imagine how slow they had to travel. He had all these sheep and other things taking along and household goods. And when Laban heard about it, he was very angry and he came after him. Now, Jacob realized that he's going to have trouble. Trouble with Laban And when he gets home, he's going to have trouble with Esau. He's in between a rock and a hard place. And so he decides that he's going to get back to the place of Bethel. And he goes back to the place, and before he gets to Bethel, he stops and he takes the images of false worship, the idols which they all had, and the earrings off the men and the ladies. Why did he take those earrings? Well, I think there was something associated with the idol worship through those earrings. And he buried them in the ground. You see, he's cleansing his life, outwardly at least, because he's going to come back to Bethel, to God. And he surely doesn't want to take idols back to God and to worship him. So he comes back to Bethel, and before all of his family, though all were still there, he worships God. Now that really was an example to all of the family when he stops to worship God. You know, fear can make some changes really in the life of a person. Now, as I said, he's finding Laban. Laban had caught up with him before this, and he settled the problem with Laban, and he still has to face Esau. So he comes to the brook Jabbok. And when he comes to the brook Jabbok, he sends the family over the brook, and he's going to spend the night alone there. Now, when he spends the night alone there, God comes and speaks with him. But he speaks with him in a different way. An angel comes and wrestles with him. And this angel, we believe, is a theophany or an appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And Jacob prevails. And this angel can't pin him or make him give up. And so finally, the angel touches his thigh and gives him a great pain. And so he's going to give up, but now he holds on. And he says to this angel, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And the angel says, our Lord Jesus, in Genesis 22:28, "Thy name shall be called no longer Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God." Thus Jacob is the first Israelite. And in my mind, I believe that God is now planting his vineyard through Jacob and in Jacob. Now, he had 12 sons. And 10 of them weren't very much to write home about. They were not very good, nothing to brag about. But Joseph and Benjamin, oh, how different they were, especially Joseph. Brother Castle spoke about Joseph last week, and we're not going to say anything much about him. But Jacob turns out to be a new man. Not only does his name change, but his character has changed also. And we read in the book of Hebrews, in the faith chapter, that when he was about to die, he had spoken to his children, some he blessed and some he didn't bless, but he had spoken to his children and left his legacy with them. He sat up on his bed and took his staff and worshipped. That shows that there was a change in this man. The last thing that he did upon the earth was to worship the true and the living God. So we see that he was a changed man. But you know, we who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior, and we who have trusted in him are changed people also. At least we should be. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9. Paul, writing to these Corinthians, says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornication, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." But notice verse 12. "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God." Now, some of us were saved when we were children, and so we have not entered into these terrible things which are mentioned here. But perhaps some of you were saved at a later age in life, and you can identify with the things in those verses. Some of those things were found in your life. Now, in the passing of time, the vineyard is taken down to Egypt. They're going to be there for 400 years. The vineyard at that time composed of 70 people. Joseph and his two sons were down there. And now Israel, Jacob, and his other sons and their family went down. 70 all told. They're going to be there 400 years. And in the process of time, some think that they finally came to 2 million people. Now, the time is coming that they should be taken out of Egypt. God has another plan for his vineyard. 2 million people. God was going to lead them to the promised land. The land that first he had promised to Abraham and to Isaac, and he promised that to Jacob also. So Moses is called from the backside of the desert where he lived for 40 years, and he's now about 80 years of age, and he's going to be the one to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. Now they come to the wilderness, and in the wilderness, God gave them a tabernacle. He gave them a place where they should worship him, and he's going to dwell in this tabernacle upon the earth. Still in heaven, but his presence through the Shekinah glory is going to be found in this tabernacle. We read a sad note, however, in Joshua 24:31. "And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua and who had known all the work of the Lord that he had done for Israel." Not only did God give them the tabernacle in the wilderness where they should worship him and bring their sacrifices, but he also, through Moses, gave them the law. And much of it is found back in the first five books of the Bible, the four books of the Bible, not in Genesis so much, but after that. He gave them a law that they should follow in their lives. But we find out that they did not obey God and did not follow the law.